Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. And a great blessing to be here. I believe that God has a word for us. And Lord gave me this. I preached it a couple weeks ago at home. But I believe it's for here this morning. And I want to talk about that river of life. You know, you're known as the River of Life congregation. And do you live up to that? Will be my challenge here this morning. But I want to look at this. That river of life, it is a river of the Holy Ghost that flows from the throne of God. Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to live in us and to lead us and guide us and to use us in this world, in this last day harvest that we find ourselves a part of. You can turn to Ezekiel 47. You know, Jesus said in John 7:37, he said, if we believe as the scripture has said, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You know, nothing of our own selves, but only of the Holy Ghost, that will that river flow. And it will flow out to what? It will meet the needs of those round about us. It will meet the needs of a lost and a dying world. You know, Joel says that in that day, deliverance will be found in the house of God. And, you know, if we are the church of the living God, then the people around about us can come to us with their needs, and that river will flow through us to meet that need. In Revelation, I have a verse that talks about the river of life. It says there's a pure river of water of life that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. It is clear as crystal. It is clear as crystal, and that is God's desire, that as that river flows through His people, that it is clear as crystal. It is not contaminated by our flesh. It is not contaminated by our thinking. It is not contaminated, but it is a pure river of living water that flows, and only as it is pure will it do the work that God desires it to do. Now I want to start reading in Ezekiel 47 in verse 1. Afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You know, this river, it's a river of God, and it's a wide river. It's It's not just a small river. You know, it says here, he brought me through, he says, 1,000 cubits, and 1,000 cubits is something around 600 yards. You know, that's a long ways. So it's not like just wading out into this river and it just gets deeper as you go. But you wade out into this river. And he says, first he took him 1,000 cubits, and he was into his ankles. And then 1,000, and he was into the knees. And, you know, as I was thinking of this, you know, we get born again, and we get into this river. You know, it says here, this river, it flows from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So it is, it comes by the altar. And the only way that it will flow through us is as we find ourselves in the altar. We find ourselves at the foot of the cross. And we are cleansed and set free from everything in our life that hinders. You know, and it's, you know, we get born again, but there's a growth, there's a sanctification, there's a growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and growing in, you know, just simply knowing our Lord and walking with Him. You know, Hebrews says, what is that verse? Strong meat belongeth to them of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, there's a growth, there's a time, you know, that, and I believe that is why we're looking at a space. You know, he says, you know, you won't go those 600 yards in the river just in a couple minutes. It will take some time. And he says, he brought me through. He brought me through. And I had to think of many things. But the trials of life, the trials and the testings of life that come in, that come our way, and we walk through them. We walk through these, and God is doing a work in us, and He's taking us deeper with Him, and He's cleansing us. Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, of course, sin will hinder us and hold us back and keep us from going deeper in this river. But sometimes there's things that might not really be sin, but they're weights. They're weights, and they hold us down, they hold us back, and they hinder the working of God in our heart. They contaminate that river, that it is not a clear, crystal clear, pure river coming out of us. Peter says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. You know, the trying of our faith and the cleansing and the purifying and the chastening and the dealings of God in our hearts, they're precious. They're more precious than gold. Why? Because it's the working of God, and He's cleansing us and setting us free and making us more useful in His kingdom. Are we willing to allow Him to work in us? Are we willing to humble ourselves before Him and allow Him to show us things that might hinder, things that are not right, wrong thinking? You know, the carnal mind cannot be subject to God. But it is that thing that we're always battling. It's that carnal mind that will always want to influence, that will always want to bring doubt, that will always bring questions. When God speaks, do we hear and do we walk in obedience? And do we lay aside those things we need to? Do we allow Him to change the course of our life and to take us further? You know, as we go deeper into this river, you know, so he takes us on and we're into the knees. And knees, they're very important, because we think of prayer, we think of going on our knees and in prayer before God, and you know, it's not just saying a prayer, but it is learning to come to Him and to cast our care upon Him and to do battle in prayer. I believe that prayer is the most important thing when it comes to spiritual battle. You know, we look at the armor of God in Ephesians and all of those things, but I believe that in our walk today, if we forget prayer, we've lost the most important part of the armor. Yes, all of the others are important, and faith in our heart will help us and give us and show us the need to pray, and we'll feel the need to pray. But prayer moves the heart of God. It moves His hand. You know, there's a chapter in Ezekiel, the prophecy of Israel, and he says, he makes all these promises. And then at the end, after saying that I will do this, he said, yet for all this, I will be inquired of by you. God wants us to ask Him for our need. He wants us to fight the battles on our knees. And He will set things in order. He will lead us in the way. He brought me through to the loins. And afterward, He measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You know, we like to be in control. And this was mentioned earlier here today. But we like to be in control. We like to have our feet on the ground, and we like to know where we're at. But in this river, He desires to take us into this river in a way that He will lead us by His Spirit. We're no longer in control, but we walk in obedience. We walk as He leads us. Romans says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is His desire. He wants to take us. He wants to bring us to that place where we're done with ourselves, and we've just given everything to Him. We're not holding back anything. We don't have anything hidden in the closet, but we're just totally yielded to Him in every area of life, in our walk, in church, in everything. Totally yielded to Him that He can take us and He can use us. That He can use us as He desires. Though it might not be comfortable, though it might not be what we would choose, though it might not be what we desire. But now we have different goals. We have our goals, our eternal goals. We make our decisions based on eternity. We allow Him to direct us. And if He will lead us into something different, out of our comfort zone, we're willing to do it, knowing that He is leading, knowing that He is having His way, and where He will lead, there He will provide, and He will continue to lead us. That is His desire. That is His desire, and that is what I see with this river. With this river, your feet are now off of the ground. You're no longer in control. Yes, you can swim, but that current will take you where He desires. The current of the Holy Ghost, it will direct your life, and He will now take you. He will work in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You know, if His will is for you to do something different, if it is His will for you to preach the gospel, if it is His will for you to go on some mission field, if it is His will for you to name it, whatever it might be, if it is His will, then we want to be willing to do it. And if we are in this place, we will do it because we've given Him control of our lives. Well, this river, we'll just skip on down here. Let's read, let's start in verse 8 again. Then said He unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country. They go down into the desert, and they go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. It shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. You know, the marshes, the miry places, those are, you know, you're all familiar with the Kilbuck Swamp, and in the springtime or whenever there might be a flood, and the water will rise, and it will rush through there, and it will purge out some of that old stuff, and it will just look like a part of the river. But then the river ebbs down again, and it dries up, and the flood is gone. You know, I just want to think of this as a revival in our church. You know, so we have a revival and the river rises, and so we respond to this revival, to the Word of God, and we give ourselves. But if we hold back something, that river will again, it will come down. It will come down again to its normal level. And if we stay where we were at, we will again be in the swamp. We will again be outside of the will of God, outside of the river where the water is flowing. So as the Word of God comes and it speaks to our hearts, we need to give ourselves, and we need to get into that river, into a deeper walk with God. That river, it is the river of life, and everywhere it goes, the life of God will flow. Everywhere, You know, what God's desire is, I believe, is that everywhere you go, you take this river. This river will flow through you. Tomorrow, where you go, it will flow through you. It will bring the life of God to whatever situation you find yourself in, to whoever you meet, wherever you go. That is His desire, that this river will flow, and it will flow through you. And what will happen? It is the life of God. And it will bring the life of God everywhere you go. Yes. This river, the river of God, it is a pure river. Do we contaminate it with our own thinking, with our own desires, with selfishness, or with pride or unwillingness? Unwillingness, selfishness. You know, this world is governed by self and selfishness. But God's people will not be governed by self. Are we willing to give ourselves? Are we willing to die to self? To lay down our life? To lay down our life that His life can flow through us. You know, that's the Christian walk. That's what He desires. He is so ready and willing to give us what we need and to give us the power of the Spirit of God if we will just lay down our own way and our own thoughts and our own ways. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of God." My meat is to do the will of God. Is that our heart? Is that our... Do we find sustenance in doing the will of God? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Are we finding it that way in our lives? You know, this river... You know how a river is. You cannot stop a river. Men have built dams and they flood a big area and it creates a big lake. But that river, it will fill that lake and it will keep on flowing. The river of God, it is unstoppable. And it will flow. It will flow. And it will flow through you if you allow it to flow. Everything shall live whether this river comes. Wherever the river of God will come, it brings life. It brings life. Does that life flow through you? That is the question. Is it flowing through you unhindered? Unhindered. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." You know, what is coming out of our lives? Is it a pure offering? Is it an offering in righteousness? Have we allowed God? Have we allowed God to, to sit there as a refiner and to refine us. You know, that's why the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. This working of God in our lives, it is a precious thing. The life of God in us is precious, and His working in our hearts to change us more and more into the image of Jesus, that is a precious thing. It's a precious work. And he says, he asks here, who may abide the day of his coming? Because he will come, he will be like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. And he will refine and he will purify. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. You know, a purifier of silver. What do we know about silver and purifying silver? You know, I've read that when they purify silver, they try to get it to the perfect temperature, and that temperature is 960.5 degrees. And they sit there, and the scum and the dirt comes to the top as that heat works in the silver. And it'll keep on coming. And they just scoop it off and they take it off as it comes to the top. And we ask the question, what are you looking for? When do you know that silver is pure? You know how the refiner knows? When he can see his own reflection in that silver, then it's pure. And that is what Jesus is looking for in us. He wants to refine us. He wants to refine us into the point that all they see, when God looks at us, what he sees is Jesus. Yes, that he sees a reflection of his Son. That's what he desires to see. That we might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. 2 Corinthians 7. I'm going to start in chapter 6. In verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, this is what God desires, that we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, there's things that we need to do that this can be accomplished. Yes, He will come and cleanse us, but we must yield. We must be willing to give up. We must be willing to lay aside. We must be willing to give ourselves to Him and to cleanse us from these things. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, I believe this is something that is very missing in much in much of the professing church today, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, we represent a holy God. And the only way that we will truly represent Him is if we live a holy life, separated from evil. What else does He say here? In verse 17, He says, "Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You know, what is the unclean thing? Well, I believe it is things of this world that defile us. They defile and they hinder the work of God. And what is His goal in all of this? He says, we are the temple of the living God. And He will come and He will dwell in us. And He will walk in us. And He will be our God and we will be His people. That is His desire. Can He live in us? Can He walk His life through us? That is His desire. That is His will. That is what He wants. In Ezekiel, there's a prophecy of the New Covenant Church. He says, "I will cleanse you from all filthiness and idols, and I will cause you to walk in My statutes." God will cause us to walk in His statutes. How does He do that? I believe it is by the Holy Ghost in our hearts. He will lead us if we allow Him. He will lead us and work through us. He will use us for His kingdom. It says He will cause us to walk in His statutes. No longer walking our own way. No longer walking by the dictates of that carnal mind, but walking, being led by the Spirit of God. Are we submitting to the righteous processes of God as He works to change us? As He allows trials and testings to come our way, are we submitting to that working of God in our hearts? He's bringing us through. He's taking us deeper. He's bringing us through from one depth to the next. Remember, 600 yards, 1,750 or 1,830 feet. It's over a quarter of a mile. Every increment there going out into that river in Ezekiel. He brought me through. He brings us through. He brings us through what? He brings us through the trials and the heartaches of life. But it's not just that we're going through those things. He's doing a work in our heart to bring us to the place of greater usefulness. Jesus is Lord of the storms. You know, Jesus, that night he come out to the disciples. Well, there was a couple different times. So one time He walked out on the water. The other time He was sleeping in the boat. And they woke Him up. And He stilled the storm. You know, Jesus is Lord of the storm. And He will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. But He will be with us through every trial, through every temptation, through every testing that He allows to come our way. He will be with us. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Labors together with God. We are the temple of God. we are the temple of the living God. Yes. One more scripture. In Romans 5, he says, we are justified by faith. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have access by faith. And not only so, in verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We glory in tribulation. That's tough, isn't it? But that's what the apostle wrote. He said he glories in tribulation. Why? Because of what it works in his heart. And if we can have that before our eyes, that whatever God is working in us, it's a glorious work. It's a precious work. It's more precious than gold that perishes. You know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Yes. Count it all joy. Why? Because the trial of our faith, it will work patience, and patience will work experience, and experience brings hope. The working of God in our heart, it is a precious work. Do we yield? Do we yield to the righteous processes of God? Do we allow him to bring us through? To bring us through those trials and testings? And why is it? Why do we need to go through those? It is that this river of life will be crystal clear as it flows out from us. That's the goal. Why? That the name of God, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, will be lifted up and be exalted among all men. That is his desire, and that is his will. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your working and your moving in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you've sent the Holy Ghost, Lord, to lead us and to guide us into all truth and to empower us for your service. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to surrender our all and to give our all and to allow you, Lord, to take us on and to bring us, Lord, further, Lord, into a place of more usefulness, into a place, Lord, of your service that you desire, Lord. Might we be yielded vessels in your hands, Lord, cleansed and useful in the Master's hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless.